Thank you for tuning in to Richardson Cove Baptist Church Podcast. We join our weekly broadcast of our Sunday morning worship service.
I hope you had a great Christmas and looking forward to the new year that we're about to enter into. That being said, I want to look at some old things and look at some new things. So we're going to be in Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation 21. And look at the first five verses. If you'll stand with me while we read God's word together. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Our Father, we come to you today. We're excited and thankful for the new things that you're preparing for us. Even right now, the new city of Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth that will be prepared for us one day. We're thankful, God, in the comfort that we have knowing that these new things are prepared for all those that believe in you, Jesus, and trust in you as Lord and Savior. Until then, we know we still have some old things that are lingering. We're still in this old world. We're still on this old earth. And we need your help. We need your strength. We need your guidance. So God, in the midst of the old things and the new things, our prayer today is that you would be with us. You would lead us and guide us in your path. That you would forgive me, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us, God, of our unrighteousness by your precious blood. And use us for your glory as we think about this new year we're entering into. God, we pray that you will be glorified through it. Put us in the places we need to be in. Let us be a part of the things we need to be a part of. Help us, God, to have the strength to stand when we need to stand and to be silent when we need to be silent, God. Help us be completely submissive to your Holy Spirit as you lead, guide, and direct us in the path that you have set before us. Be with our church, be with our church family, and all the ministries that make up Richardson's Cove Church, and those that you will add on in the coming year, God. We thank you for those as well. We love you and praise you. Thank you for your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thinking about the new heaven, new earth, maybe you're already getting excited thinking we're going to talk about new heaven, new earth. We're not really. That's kind of a little teaser. But I did want to talk about the newness. It is exciting to think about what the new heaven, new earth is going to be about. In the kid's story, Chris said, well, the rainbow in the sky is a promise to us that God's not going to destroy the earth with water again. He's not, and that is a promise. But he is going to cleanse it with fervent heat, according to Peter. And we know that's going to happen. And it's going to make way for that new heaven and new earth that's going to be. I know I'll sit sometimes and wonder about it. Think about what it's going to be like to be in that new place, on that new earth. He's going to cleanse this earth and purify it and take all the imperfections out. And we're going to actually have a new city of Jerusalem come down. We'll be able to enter into that city, dwell in that city. We'll have all these new things that we'll be surrounded by, and it's going to be a great time. But until we get there, we're still here. We're still here in this old earth. We're still here in the old situations. We have a lot of things, I believe, to consider as we finish up an old year, we enter into this new year. So I want to talk about some new things. We'll talk about some old things. One of the new things is this new creation that we have become. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17 and 18, I want to read these verses to you. It says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So, when we get saved, we become a brand new creation of God. And I know when we talk about getting saved, what does it really mean to be saved? To be saved means you choose to believe in Jesus and his finished work at Calvary. That's what we're basically doing. We're coming to a point in our life where we know we're sinners. We know that we're lost. The Spirit brings that pungent conviction to let us know our condition. And if we continue the path that we're on, we're going to die. We're going to go to hell. We're going to be separated from God forever. But when the Spirit comes and convicts us, we understand what Christ did for us when he died. It all becomes real to us. Some of us saved at young age. Some saved at more an adult age. So the depth of understanding, I think, varies, but the genuine truth of what happened takes root regardless of your age. I don't think God's going to convict anybody until they're ready to be convicted. Amen. I think there's an age. We call it the age of accountability. What is the age of accountability? Some say it's 7, some say 8, some say 12. I think it depends on the individuals to what your age of accountability is. The age of accountability for you is the first time you were ever convicted of your sins. That is your age of accountability. When you were convicted, did you surrender to Christ? Did you become saved that day in that moment, did you? Well, then that's wonderful if you did. At 7 years old, I remember my age of accountability. It was in the summer and my 7th year. Can't tell you the exact day because it was summertime. It could have been a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. I'm not sure what day it was. You remember the old song? It was on a Monday, somebody touched me. And at the very end, they said, I don't know what day it was, but somebody touched me. I don't know what day it was, but I know that I was convicted of my sins. That was my age of accountability. The Spirit hit me like a ton of bricks and let me know all these things I had heard for those 7 years in church. They were real. They were true. They weren't fables. They weren't just stories. It wasn't that Jesus just came and lived so that he could see what man is up to. No, Jesus came for a purpose, to die on a cross for sins, for my sins. So that became very personal to me. And so at 7 years old, I trusted in Christ. I opened up my heart and allowed him to come in. I became what Corinthians talks about, this new creature, this new creation. When Nicodemus was talking to Jesus, what did Jesus say to him? He said, you've got to be born again, or born anew, born afresh. In other words, you've got to be born. Now, you mothers that have given birth to children, when you have this child and you've given birth, you know a pretty dramatic experience has happened. When a child is born, I remember when my kids were born. It's been a long time ago. Now I know I have a little grandbaby. And when the grandbaby was born, it literally changes everybody's life that's around that child when they're born. Imagine what the child is going through. They're in a brand new situation they've never been in before. They're seeing people. They're making sounds. They're learning stuff. They're hearing stuff. Everything in the life of a child becomes brand new, doesn't it? I watch little Harper. She's going to be one next month. She's going to be one. This whole first year, everything she does is learning, growing, seeing new things. You know, something that we may pass by and ignore because it's old news to us. A child is fascinated by the simplest of things. You put her down in the on the ground and let her crawl around on the floor, and she'll find the smallest little piece of paper on the floor that we'll step over 100 times, and well, that probably needs to be picked up, but we'll ignore it. She will get down and try to pick that thing up and examine. Everything is so brand new and fascinating
to a little child. And so when I see her and I think about all the things that are so new to her, it reminds me of what it is like to be a Christian. All of a sudden, everything in our life has become brand new. Why is it that way? I know why it's that way. It's because the Holy Spirit moves in and lives within us. Now, let's say the Spirit didn't move in. Let's say that Jesus said, the Spirit came, convicted us, said, if you believe in me and trust in me, I'll save you. And when you leave this place, you're going to go to heaven, be with me forever and ever. And I'll see you when I get back. I'll see you when I come back and pick you up. I don't know that we could really be considered a new creature, because the Spirit moving in has literally changed everything about our life. All the things that we used to know, how we used to deal with things, how we used to consider things, the decisions that we make, all those things are completely different now. When salvation takes place, we are literally born again and born anew in a family of God. He even talks about us being adopted into the family of God, and that is a pretty intense thing. Those of you that have been involved in the adoption process, it's a pretty intense thing. That's what this new birth is all about. It's about us becoming something that we've never been before, and all of life, every aspect of life, everything we're going to face is going to be brand new now. I was saved at 7 years old. I'm 55 now. I can still say there are new things in my life all the time because the Spirit's in here. My life changes. Circumstances change. Opportunities change. The world is changing around me, and I'm getting older. So I still continue to see a spiritual newness and freshness in my life. I find myself like Harper looking at that small piece of paper at times. When I really tune in the Spirit of God and I'm listening to Him, I look at these small things and see these great opportunities that God places before me. How wonderful it is to be a child of God, because everything is new, isn't it? When we see people in the Bible that got saved and we see their lives changed, I wonder how many people in the world say that they're saved. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I got baptized. I'm a member of so-and-so church. But are they really saved? Are you really a child of God? Because there's a difference between somebody that's religious and somebody that is righteous by the blood of the Lamb. There's a big difference in that. It's one thing to say that you know who Jesus is and you prayed a prayer and ask Him into your heart, and I got baptized, and I joined the church, so I know I'm going to heaven. To say that, we can have such a statement and still not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God within us. We can say and try to prove to the world that we're saved and not be saved. If you are saved, it is a new birth. It's something you'll never forget the rest of your life. It's not something you just phase into. It's not something that just after you get to a certain age, well, all of a sudden, I must have graduated. I'm saved now. Salvation is not like that. Salvation is a conviction of the Holy Spirit of our sin and our life to that moment. A hope for us that we can be saved. And it is a conscious decision to allow Him to save us. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to go to sleep at night and wake up the next morning, oh, wow, I didn't realize I got saved about 2:30 in the morning. It's not going to happen that way. It's not something that's going to pass you in the night and all of a sudden somebody just come and whack you in the back of the head. Whoa, you just got saved. Nobody can pray over you and indwell you with the Spirit of God. Nobody can give you that. Nobody has that ability to give that gift. I know we see in the Bible where they would pray with people and they would receive the Holy Spirit, but we don't have time to elaborate on that. But I don't have the power to indwell the Spirit within you. No, there's only one way that we can experience God. Only one way we can receive the Holy Spirit of God. It begins with conviction, and we receive that deep, pungent conviction for our sins, and we ask Christ to forgive us and allow Him to do what He does so well, to come in and become our Lord and our Savior. Are you saved? Are you? Give me amen if you're saved.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, that's good. Do you know? Do you know that you know that you know you're saved? Do you know it? Do you have Him in your heart? Is He real to you? Have you become a brand new creature and a brand new creation? Has everything in your life become new or become different? I know sometimes the newness, we want to think that the word new has a note of better and perfect and right, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Not necessarily true, but is everything different and has everything changed because you've trusted in Jesus Christ? I wonder about people that maybe they're drug up to an altar as a kid, and I've been around seeing that happen as a youngster. See people that go back, hey, honey, don't you want to get saved? Yeah. Well, then here, let me drag you up to the altar and get you down here and let's get the preacher pray over you, get you saved. Everybody's hooting and hollering and celebrating and carrying on because everybody thinks somebody got saved and nobody got saved. Salvation is a personal thing.
Amen.
Salvation doesn't happen when you want it to happen. Salvation happens when God says it's time for you to be convicted of your sins and you embrace that conviction. I've often talked about the role that we play in becoming this new creature and this new creation. What did I actually have to do with salvation? I don't think I really had a whole lot to do with salvation. It's all Him, isn't it? It's all God. It's all God. I feel like the only part that I could really play in the process of salvation is this. I could reject it. Otherwise, it's natural. God made it simple that a child can believe and get saved. And He made it so natural that when that conviction hits, He made it so that it should be natural for us to just allow Him to come in. So the part we play, and I know I've argued with people, they'll say, well, you still had to choose Him, preacher. You still have to make that choice. Well, I get what you're saying. But I think the biggest choice we can make in salvation is choosing to reject it rather than choosing to accept it. The natural path is to feel that conviction and to open up the heart, allowing Him to do what naturally He wants to do, which is come in and to save us and to cleanse us and to make us right before Him, cleanse that soul that it will be perfect and whole before God. Yeah, a part we play is going to be a part of rejection. So listen, friends, when that thing happens to you, when that beautiful thing happened to you, it's something you will remember the rest of your life. If you can't go back to an experience that you've had, and I know I say this a lot, but it's so true. If you can't go back to an experience that you had, I don't think you're saved. Well, somewhere along the line, I must have got things right with God. If you did, you ought to be able to go back to at least a moment in time. You don't have to tell me the exact day, the exact year, but you need to know that you met Jesus. If you meet Jesus, I think you're going to know it.
Amen.
If you meet Him and He comes in, I think you're going to know it. If the Spirit enters your life, you're going to know it because you're going to be a brand new person. It's going to be like you're born all over again. Now, I said I wanted to talk about everything being made new. Look in that passage of Scripture. He says, you, if any man's in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I want to add some more Scripture to that. Just because everything has become new doesn't mean everything has become perfect. When we read that passage of Scripture, a lot of times we think, well, old things are passed away, and all things have become new. We're starting out, and everything's great, everything's wonderful. That's not what He said. What He said was, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The word new here basically meaning different, fresh. They're not the same as they were before. What He's saying is, and I know we would love to think, and some people kind of misquote this and feel as though once you get saved, your life is going to be grand from that moment on, because The old man is gone. The old way is gone. The old nature is gone. The old this is gone. Because the scripture says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The problem is, no. We still have the old nature. He didn't go anywhere. So what is he talking about with the old things are passed away and all things have become new? He's talking about somebody moved in your life, which is God, in the presence of the Spirit, has moved in your life. You better know everything from then on is going to become new. Everything from then on is going to become different than it was before. The former life you had, you will never have again. Kind of like we talk to young people about having children. My advice is always this. Wait around a few years. When you get married, wait around a few years and enjoy each other. Because here's the next part of that statement. Because when you have kids, your life is changed forever. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not so good, is it? With the experiences that we have to have. But you wouldn't change it for the world. But it's different. So you can say that, and that helps us understand and relate to this passage of Scripture. Old things are passed away. The life you knew, and I know Tammy and I have talked about this before. What was it like before we had our first child? I don't even remember what it was like. Do you remember what it was like, you married folks, before you had your first child? Do you even remember? What did we do? To sit around and look at each other? That was weird. All we remember is a life filled with kids and stuff and everything. Snotty noses and, you know, all this stuff. That's what we remember. We remember that. I think in a sense, that's what this scripture relates to. It's not that everything's going to be perfect or wonderful. You're not going to have any problems in life. But everything is going to definitely become new. And it's definitely going to become different when you have kids. That's what happens when the Spirit comes in. Not everything's going to be perfect because of this. We still have that carnal nature while we're in this place. Romans 7, beginning in verse number 15, says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." So there's an old nature that still lingers with us. Yeah, all things have become new. We have that leadership that we never had before, that indwelling and presence of the Spirit, but it doesn't take away the old nature. We have a new life. We become a new creation. We become someone new in Jesus Christ, but we still now have the old nature that we have to wrestle with and struggle with. We still have those things in our life that linger within us. We still have those things that can pull us that we used to know. Now, as a 7-year-old kid, I didn't have a whole lot of things lingering that were going to be a problem to me. My problems came later after I was saved and I began to embrace things of the world. But to have this carnal nature, to have this nature about us, don't misunderstand what Corinthians said and think being a Christian is going to be wonderful and perfect and easy. It's going to be hard. As a matter of fact, I might even say it's more difficult being a Christian than not being a Christian as far as the decisions that we make. Does that make sense to you? Because until you get saved, what do we have? One nature. Until we get saved, you know what? There's not really a conflict because we're already doing the wrong thing. Because we already disobeyed God. Because we're already rebelling against God. Because we're never doing anything to please God. And there's not that struggle. There's no tempting. There's no drawing and pleading on behalf of Satan or this nature in opposition to the Spirit of God. The first real situation we face is to embrace Jesus as Savior. Until then, well, there's not really a battle. Once we get saved, though, doesn't it heat up? Wow. I mean, it heats up. It gets intense. Because now we have somebody inside of us. We have God inside of us that's pulling us in the right godly direction, which contradicts the world and contradicts Satan and contradicts our own nature and selfishness. All those things, Paul said, those things I want to do are the things I don't do. Those things that I shouldn't do are the things I find myself embracing. Wow, I thought Paul was a pretty good Christian guy. I thought he's probably as close to Jesus as anybody's ever going to get. And I still think he is. But Paul's letting us know he's still human as well. And he struggled with the same things that you and I struggle with. He struggled with this old nature. Just because all things are new doesn't make all things perfect. We still have an old nature that we must be conscious of and concerned about in our life. Being saved is not the easy road to heaven. It begins a relationship. How many people in a marriage without communication is going to succeed? I don't think any will. I think communication is vital in any relationship. If I want to know more about God, I'm going to have to talk to God. I'm going to have to listen to God as He talks to me. If I want to know more about you, I've got to spend time with you. If my wife and I want our marriage to develop and to continue to flourish and get stronger and greater as the years go by, we must communicate and spend time together to understand each other, to know how we click and to know what our likes and our dislikes are, what our passions are, the vision that we have for life and for life together. The same thing goes in our relationship with God. If you want to know more about God, don't just say, God, just give me everything about you in a simple prayer because we're used to getting things quick. Spend time with God. Read His Word. Pray and talk to Him. Understand this nature that we have is here, and He's here as long as we're in this fleshly body. We're going to have to put up with this guy. Now, we've got the new creation. We got the old nature. But we also have new opportunities. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, which means kind of right or perfect or straight. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming means basically to rescue time or to make great use of the time that we have. When we think about the new year, New Year's Day is going to be what? Wednesday. Just a few days away, we're going to enter into 2020. So what's it going to be for you? What goals do you have for yourself? Do you have resolutions? You know, I'm not big on resolutions, but do you have some things in your life that you want to try to accomplish in this coming year? I think it's great to set goals in life, and hopefully we can achieve those goals. But are we excited about the opportunities that God has before us for the coming year? You know, I wonder what it's going to be like a year from today when we look back and we see in 2020 all the things God's done in our lives, individually, in our families, and in our church. I'm praying more ministries will develop in the church. I'm praying more people will get saved. I'm praying that we will get closer to God than we've ever been before. I'm excited about the opportunities. The thing about God is, as long as we're here and we're saved, those of you that believe in Jesus, as long as you have breath in your body, there is a reason for you to be breathing. And it's not just to take up space. It's because He has opportunities for you. He has things He wants you to be a part of. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I get down in the floor to play now with Harper, and, you know, it's slower getting back up. The knees don't work as good as they used to. You know, we get a little bit stiff and those kind of things. But even if our physical lives change, you know what God's so good about? If we're changing and our circumstances are changing, you know what God does? He adapts the opportunities to where we're at in life. Isn't that so cool? God knows I'm getting older, so He's going to adapt opportunities to suit me exactly where I am. God is so great and so loving. He literally makes it so simple for us to be a part of His great plan. He brings the opportunities to us and lays them before us. 99% of the time, you know what it just requires? It may cost you some time. It may cost you some money. It may cost you some energy. But you know what it's going to cost us mostly? His will for our will. It's just choosing to say, you know what, God? I just want you to be glorified in my life. I want you to be lifted up in my life. I want you to have your way. And in that, what happens to us always? Every time we obey God, what happens to us? We're blessed and we become a blessing to those people that are around us. Yeah, we got a new creation. We're a new somebody. Still got that nagging old nature. But because we're children of God, we have opportunities before us. Now there's something else that comes new with it too. Ephesians 6:18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. We've got new temptations. I don't like temptation. I don't like old temptations. And I sure don't like new temptations. But when you look in that book of Ephesians chapter number 6, I read the last verse in that collection of putting on the armor of God. How many times have you gone in there and looked over that? Shield, breastplate of righteousness, loins girded with truth, and feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You got the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God, and the shield of faith. You got all these elements that make up someone who is preparing for battle. And I thought many times, well, you know, that's cool. It's great to envision what it must be like for a knight back in the olden days to put all the armor on to prepare himself for the battle that lies ahead. Do we really understand that we are in a battle while we're here? And when he talks about putting on armor, this is not just to give us a visual of something beautiful, but no, there's a reason for Ephesians chapter number 6. Because we live in a wicked, sinful world, and we're tempted on all sides. We need that shield of faith to protect us from the fiery darts that are going to be thrown against us. Yeah, there's reason that we're to pray always. Why? Because temptations are new daily. Temptations are new all the time. Satan's going to work on you in one area of life. If you can't get through that way, what's he going to do? He's going to try something new. He's going to understand you better than you understand you, and he's going to figure you out because he's been doing this a long time. He's good at what he does. He knows your weak points. He knows the areas of life that you give in quickly. Those are the things he's going to pounce on. You say, well, then how in the world are we going to survive? How can we win this battle? We can win it by doing what Ephesians 6 says. Put on the armor of God every day. Put it on. When I think about people like Paul, and if he's talking about the importance of putting on armor, if he's dealing with the things I'd like to do or not the things that I do, and he's talking about this human element that he had that we don't see a lot of after he got saved because he's a pretty godly man, but he identifies with that. When we see those things, we see the struggle that even Paul had. Paul came from a very religious Jewish background. So Paul would find it very easy to fall back into the customs and the traditions and the rituals of religion and leave that salvation of Christ and that new birth, and not to become unsaved, but to leave the teachings and following in obedience of what the Spirit of God tells him to do. He would find it easy to fall back into that old way of life. To me, that's the new temptation for Paul. It's falling back into what he used to do. Every time somebody would get saved, Jesus would save somebody. Paul, some of those early guys in the church, Stephen and Peter, as they would lead people to a saving knowledge of Christ, they'd come away from backgrounds that would be easy for them to fall back into. Regardless of whether you were saved as a kid, you were saved as an adult, there are things that pull at you and tug at you. There are things that maybe nobody else in the world knows that you struggle with. That's your besetting sin. Besetting sin is something that nags us continually. It's the one that we're most common to give in to. As we struggle with those things, the only victory we're ever going to have over those besetting sins is for us to put on that armor of God. Understand, just because I'm saved doesn't make me exempt from sin. No, it makes me a target for temptation now. Yeah, you got a bullseye on now. If you're saved, you're wearing one. Because Satan hates you, society hates you, your own nature hates you and despises you. The carnal mind, according to the Scripture, is at enmity against God. That means a hatred, and it despises God. Your own nature, that old nature that we talked about, it hates the new nature and despises God's ways. So understand you're going to be under temptation. Here's the good news in all of it as we wrap all this up. Go ahead and get ready for an invitation song. There's new things, there's old things, but there's one thing, my friends, that is always constant and will never change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Revelation 21:6, following the verses that we just read, said, "And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." If you're saved, you're a new creature. Something beautiful has taken place inside of you. We still have the old nature. We still have temptations that we face, but we have great new opportunities to serve God. We're only going to make it through as we cling to the one constant, the one eternal constant that has always been and always will be as long as we cling to Jesus Christ. I have no idea where you're at today and right now spiritually. I don't know if you're here today and you're lost, you're struggling with salvation. I don't know if you have reached a point in your life where you've already been saved, but yet you're struggling with the challenges of life. You're struggling with these new temptations that face you. I don't know where you're at. You know where you're at. God knows where you're at. Our only help is Jesus. Your only help in every situation is Jesus. I remember writing a comic strip that said, they saw a bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is the answer." And the one kid said, "Well, how's Jesus answer when he don't know what my question is?" But in anything in life that you're going to face, Jesus Christ is your answer, isn't he? He's going to be your hope when you're hopeless. He's going to be your help when you're helpless. When you're discouraged and defeated, he is going to be the lifter of your soul. When you're alone, there's even a scripture that says he is the father of the fatherless. God is going to be everything he needs to be for you. We've got to choose to surrender to him.
We would like to thank you for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, please visit rcbc.us, and God bless you.